It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. And thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Happy Wednesday to you. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. What a busy show. It's Wednesday. In an hour from now, I'm going to share with you a new top six list. We're going to take a look now that we're about halfway through the NFL season. I'm going to give you a top six list of legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Trade deadline coming, gone, couple coaches fired, offensive coordinators given the boot. Yeah, just a normal NFL season. How about this? In about 20 minutes, Barrett Salee is going to join us. Talk all things college football, the college football playoff rankings. He covers it all on SiriusXM and then OutKick. You missed the first hour of the show? Where the hell were you? We took a look at some of the trade deadline moves. Some of the coaches and players have spoken post-deadline. General manager of the Browns has spoken. Andrew Berry talks on Deshaun Watson. Doesn't say a whole lot of nothing. Doesn't say he's committed. Doesn't say he's not committed into the future. And so we have so much to get into as the show continues on. You can always listen or hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local affiliate. In SiriusXM, it's channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down in New York City with producer Chris. We appreciate you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Big night in the NBA. We have the Golden State Warriors in Boston taking on the Celtics in about 30 minutes from now. They already showed a little bit of a clip of Steve Kerr with a smile on his face walking towards the basketball court, where I'm sure he will be cursed out all game long, all night long. I'm almost certain of it. Hickey, what are some of the words that Steve Kerr is going to hear? Go ahead, tell us.
Oh, yeah. How about this? You go first and I'll follow.
Okay, let's see. I can give it. Is this a name telling somebody that they suck? That's not a name, right? Does that count?
No, yeah, not a name.
Okay. Try.
Dumbass, I'm sure he'll hear probably at least 20 times.
You're a bum.
Bum.
Okay, keep going. Alternate. Your turn.
You're an idiot.
Okay. Clown.
Ooh, good one.
Keep going. Elevate. Come on.
You are a fool. You fool. Why didn't you play Tatum, you fool?
You foolish clown.
That can't be yours. Come on, we use those two words.
No, I'm trying to keep a job here, you know.
Me too.
Just trying to see if you knew some of the words they're going to call Steve Kerr, and that's the bad thing, you know. As a player, when you get cursed out, you are on the court like there's a separation, right? And then when you go to the bench, you're walking past really the scorer's table. And then the bench is kind of insulated amongst the coaches. When you are the coach, when you're Steve Kerr, like, you're standing up, you're back, you're forth. You are just almost in proximity of the fans the whole time. Like, the best thing is maybe the fans in his vicinity are either nice or they get bored of yelling at him. They got to get bored eventually, right?
You would think, and especially for the most part, people sitting within earshot are paying a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, not to say that they're not the most diehard Celtics fans, but maybe they're there for the experience or the view, or was invited by a friend. And maybe their passion towards Jason Tatum's benching is not as strong as maybe the guy sitting up in section 538.
Nah, I think they're gonna be ready. I think they've been waiting on this for months.
Do you think anybody shows up with a Steve Kerr clown face shirt? Got to have at least one or two.
Somebody,
of those around,
right? Of course, somebody does. I don't know if it'd be cool if it's in his vicinity. You know, get the one shot with that in the background. I don't know.
That would be funny. That'd be very funny.
People are just waiting to see what Tatum does. You can go ahead and include me in that one. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. Brent is calling up from Illinois. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Hey, Brent, did you ask me about the Tennessee Titans and Patriots game? Was that you?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm preparing myself for what you'll ask next. Go ahead.
Well, you know, couple of days ago, you brought up, you did a rhyme or a poem about Little Orphan Annie. Remember that 2 days ago?
I just mentioned, I did a rhyme. It's a Hard Knock Life.
Yeah.
I talked about Daddy Warbucks. What about it?
Yeah, Little Orphan Annie is created in my hometown where I live in right now, Lombard, Illinois.
Okay. Did you grow up knowing Little Orphan Annie? Was she real?
No.
Okay.
The creator is house looks like the dollhouse, or looks like the house that, you know, the balcony and everything.
What?
And that was like in 1924 when Little Orphan Annie, but that was created in my hometown, Lombard.
Lovely. Amazing.
Yeah.
I wasn't around. Were you?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. All right. What else?
Okay. You know the story about B.B. King's guitar, Lucille? The story behind it?
I know there was about 20 of them girls. That's all I know.
No. And it's ironic you're talking about fist fight. B.B. King named his guitar Lucille after two men got into a fight over a woman named Lucille.
Oh, creative. Okay. The more you know. Did you know that or did you Google that?
No, I knew. Well, I Googled it, but I knew that from high school, like back in the 80s, when a music teacher brought up a story.
Oh, wow.
He it was like in Arkansas. He played at a gig, and there was a kerosene heater, and then two men got into a fight over a woman named Lucille, and the dance hall was burning, and B.B. King left, but forgot his guitar and walked back into the dance hall to get it. And he named that guitar and the rest of his guitars Lucille to remind him, don't do anything stupid like leaving his guitar or getting in a fight over a woman.
Okay. Well, the more you know, I feel like I learned something today. Brent, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, anytime, JR. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. Brent from Illinois. Yeah, no, Hickey, did you know that?
No idea. Learn something new every day from Brent.
I'm going to take that with me for the rest of my life. Why did B.B. King? I thought it was maybe after some his not a wife. I don't think B.B. King was wifing anybody up. I think he was just kind of doing what it do. I thought it was named after. I know. Come on, named after a woman, right? I don't know no men named Lucille. You know a man named Lucille? Hickey?
I do not. No, sorry,
not yet. 2024. Not yet. Don't worry about it. You'll know a man named Lucille in a couple of years. Yeah, I would say useless information, but hey, the more you know, why not? 855-212-4227. Mark is here from Tampa. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Mark?
Hello, JR. How are you?
I'm amazing. What's up?
I was just calling in. Steve Kerr doesn't really care. When Steve Kerr was a freshman at the University of Arizona, his father was the ambassador from the U.S. to Lebanon.
And he was killed,
yes. And was assassinated.
Yes.
So
yes.
He's been through everything. He was also a walk-on for Lute Olson. His father was assassinated when he was 20
God.
Years old, so
well,
he doesn't really care about this Celtic thing.
Well, Mark, well, thank you for bringing that up. I think a lot of people are well aware of that. I didn't think
I'm sorry. I didn't know it came up.
Oh, no, it didn't come up. I was well aware, but I didn't think bringing up his deceased father was, I didn't think it was worth kind of going to that extent. Nobody had mentioned about the Steve Kerr being intimidated. It was a matter of, I can't wait to see what type of crap they give him. I don't think Steve Kerr is going to go in the back and cry. Okay. If we want to keep the basketball, not his unfortunate
right. And
circumstance.
You know what? They might even win the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with his rotate, not Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry is back. He's been back from his ankle injury, and Steve Kerr has been throwing out about a rotation that's like 12 guys deep. There is no Jaylen Brown playing tonight. Jaylen Brown is dealing with a hip issue, and so it
right.
might be on Tatum to go out there and light it up. So who knows? At least it should be more of a competitive game with no Brown.
But Kerr won the gold medal anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah, well, that's all that matters to him. And thank you, Mark, for calling from Tampa.
Right on.
Appreciate
Take care.
You. Thank you so much. Damn. Hickey, did it have to get that dark?
For Mark, I guess it did. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, the guy's dad was assassinated. I don't think he cares what the Celtic fans say. Oh, wow. Damn. Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Needed that.
I heard about that. I think I've heard that story, unfortunately, a lot of times. And unfortunately, Steve Kerr has had to live with that his entire life. So, yes, I think in the big grand scheme of life, he is not worried about the guy behind him who says, Steve Kerr, you suck. But just on basketball things, terms, I also don't think he's worried about it. I mean, this man has been in the NBA for the better part of, I don't know, about 40 years now. This man is an NBA lifer. It's kind of crazy when you look in the record books. He is already coached. Like, I think he's in the top 10 of games coached all time already. Like, Steve Kerr just got here. Oh, not necessarily. There was a point. Hickey, do you remember? He was on TV. He was on television.
Barely remember, but was he ESPN? I forget where, yeah. But that was, I guess, about a decade ago.
He was doing TV, and if you recall, he had a choice between working for Phil Jackson with the New York Knicks or going on to coach the Golden State Warriors.
Safe to say, he chose wrong.
He chose wrong. He chose wrong. Right, sure. And good on him. Good on him. Let's see what he does. And, you know, right before we went to break, we talked about coaches. You know, Steve Kerr is one coach. He don't have to worry about getting fired. One day, after Steph Curry retires, Steve Kerr is going to be like, I'm out. They're not going to have to worry about, putting him out to pasture. But we did talk about some college football coaches, guys who are kind of right on the edge of getting the boot. Barrett Salee is going to join us in about 10 minutes to talk about the college football playoff rankings that we just got yesterday. But we did mention Billy Napier, who's probably going to stick around with the Gators, knowing how his team has competed after now dropping two QBs. And then Mike Norvell, who is owed an ungodly amount of money, $65 million with the contract ending in 2031. We heard from Billy Napier in the last break. Hey, let's take a listen. This is Mike Norvell today. The team is 1-8. They just got smacked around by North Carolina. He's getting ready to take on Notre Dame. And he actually said he has a lot of optimism about the team moving forward. Listen to this.
I want to make sure that, you know, these guys, you know, they see it from us, our effort that we have into helping develop and pour into them. And, you know, we got some great ability and talent on this team that I do think has you know, really, really bright futures as they continue to grow in those, especially those younger classes. I'm excited to see what those guys are going to be able to do as each day goes by.
Meanwhile, you got Cristobal down in Miami telling everybody that we, with the Hurricanes, we just run Florida, like the whole state. Gators done fell apart. And Seminoles done fell apart. Like, we run all of this. And here you got Miami already. They're ranked in a college football playoff, and you got the other Florida teams. They're just on the outside looking in. Hickey, I could not believe today, following the rankings last night, why so many people are upset where some of the teams are ranked. Specifically, you take a look at a team like BYU. People want to look at their schedule and what they do. Why are people so damn interested? This is the first edition of it. Well, what's to be up in arms about?
I think the frustration centers around the lack of consistency when it comes to evaluating teams. That's all. Like, if you want to judge a team based on, let's say, who they beat, for example, or the fact that they're undefeated. Okay, well then, if you're going to do that, then just be consistent to where if you're going to reward, let's say, Oregon for being number one because they're undefeated, well, make sure then right behind them is Miami, BYU, Indiana, because they are also undefeated. If you're going to prioritize who you play, well, then make sure teams like BYU, who have two top 20 victories, are ahead of teams that have zero top 25 victories.
Talking about them beating SMU and Kansas State.
That's right. And SMU's on the road. That's a good win. SMU's 13. That's a solid, solid win, especially in the committee's eyes, because they think so highly of SMU. But yet here you are sitting BYU behind Indiana with zero ranked wins, behind Penn State, zero ranked wins. Like, what are we doing?
If you know you're not getting one of the byes, if you know that, and you know you're going to be in the second tier, and this is the first edition of it, what are you going to do? Why do you care so much? Like, we know who's going to sit at the top. You're not sitting at the top. You're going to have to play multiple rounds. So what's the big deal? Well, why are people up in arms about it?
But I think that's it. I think you don't know right now. Like, we still have a month to go before this, you know, season ends, and you can move up in part based on where you start, man. You know?
Nah, just play it out, man. Ain't nobody moving Oregon and Georgia. And Ohio, ain't nobody moving them out the way.
Well, Georgia loses on Saturday. Who's benefiting from that?
Do you think Georgia is going to lose on Saturday?
I don't. I do not trust Lane Kiffin at all. I think that's going to be a dog's win. But what if they, I mean, what if I'm wrong? What if Lane Kiffin actually shows up, Ole Miss's offense looks great, and they win?
Oh, he's going to charge Florida more money to move, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. And Lee from Cincinnati will be calling us any second now to...
That'd be a real Benedict Arnold. Holy cow.
Wow. Would you be shocked if he left?
I would be shocked.
Nah, well.
You wouldn't be?
No. I think he's in the best position possible. It's like, hey, here I am, SEC. I can't beat anybody. They're still paying me. I don't think he's leaving. I don't think they're gonna fire Billy Napier anyway. So, can't leave where you're not wanted or there's no space.
Florida fans would love to hear that. Yeah, we don't want you, Kirby. We're gonna keep our guy.
Hey, I'm just saying. You know what? We're going to have this chat. Barrett Salee is going to join us on the other side of the break. A host on SiriusXM covers all things college of football, also on OutKick. Ask him about these rankings, what they mean, who should have been higher, who should have been lower, what should we be outraged about. We'll talk about it with Barrett on the other side of the break. You are locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The college football playoff rankings are out. We got the first edition around this time, exactly this time, yesterday. To talk about what we saw yesterday, what we might see the rest of the way, what we need to pay attention to this week, what we need to lock on to for the stretch run. Joining us right now is someone you can hear on SiriusXM covering all things college football. You can read his words on OutKick. It is Barrett Salee. Barrett, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Just, Tuesday night, college football rankings night. Everyone hates everyone, and there's rage all over the place. And it's a great time of year, man. It's a great time of year.
Hey, Barrett, I was going to say, for the first edition, especially with the newly extended playoff, we got 12 teams getting in. We had a ranking of 25. Everybody's up in arms, and it's just the first edition. What stood out to you? Is it Indiana, BYU? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, the overarching thought, and I said this on my podcast today, is that name brand matters. And they'll never tell you. They'll tell you the opposite. I've talked to people at the College Football Playoff office and Rich Clark and all of them. Bill Hancock said it too, that the brand doesn't matter. And yet we've got Indiana, which has beaten everybody by 14 or more points, ranked 8. I don't care about strength of schedule. Everybody has flaws. Everybody stumbled. Everybody has had issues where they look beatable, except Indiana. And they're not getting any credit for it because wins and losses should matter. You have a Texas, which strength of schedule wise is fine, doesn't have really any quality wins. BYU has 2. SMU at 13, significantly better than Texas or Miami in terms of overall resume. And, you know, it's one of those things they move the goalposts, right? One day they say it's wins and losses that matter. The next day it says strength of schedule. The next day they say gain control or whatever, and it goes to show you that name brand matters, because there's no way Texas would beat number 5 if they didn't have that Longhorn on their helmet. I'd say there's no way Miami would be ahead of BYU or SMU if it didn't have that U on its helmet. So, you know, it's name brand matters, and that's it. But it, like I said, it'll change because every single year they do it, right? The conference call comes out afterwards, or – you know, the spokesman comes out after on the TV show and is like saying they're focusing on game control this week. And it's just like you're scratching your head going, what the heck are you guys doing? And then it comes the realization it's all to program the sport. It's all for us to yell at each other and be angry. And because that's a feature of the sport, not a bug. It's awesome. I love it. People get so mad. It's same thing, right? AP preseason rankings, right? Everybody's up in arms. Oh, cancel preseason rankings. They're dumb. And yet, everybody loves to talk about it. Because in secret, everybody likes them all.
And college football expert Barrett Salee is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show. So, Barrett, you mean to tell me this is all a business? Is this what this is? I didn't believe it.
Shocking, right? Shocking. No, but, you know, I think in reality, though, this year it's interesting. And look, I'm not a 12-team playoff guy. I didn't like the 14. I wish we could go back to the BCS. But
Wait. Before you move forward, why would you want to go back to the BCS?
Because it only had one thing wrong, and that was in 2004. And I would argue, even as an Auburn alum, that Auburn probably didn't deserve to be in that BCS championship game either. I'm all about rewarding excellence, not granting access. And we've got a system now that rewards access over excellence, and it takes away from the regular season. And it's proven to do that already this year. And on top of that, there are teams that are going to make the playoff this year that have no business being called national champions. They just don't. I like that college football is unique. I don't like the NFLization of the college football world. It shouldn't be. It can't be. And the landscape of it should prevent it from looking like the NFL. But like you mentioned, money talks. Business, right?
Well, we are in a 12-team playoff. We have the field is wider on paper, at least. We know some of these teams are going to get smacked around when the playoff actually starts. Who should we actually pay attention to kind of hoist that trophy come January?
Oh, okay, so this is so interesting, too, because you're going to have the four automatic qualifiers, right? They're probably going to be the Power Four teams. They might not be, but the third and fourth seed might not actually be capable of winning a national championship, but 5, 6, and 7 might. So that to me is fascinating. So I'm looking at a team, maybe like Tennessee, that if they win out, they're going to get in. Obviously, they'll probably make the SEC championship game if they do that as well. You know, I think they've got a chance to really get back into it. I'm still a fan of LSU. I think that they had the loss to USC is holding them back because that's a bad loss right now. But if they were to get into the SEC championship game, which I think is very possible, then winning it could provide a springboard to maybe even, you know, get a home game. So I think LSU is one to watch out for. They're down at 14. I think they're underrated. And look, with Penn State, I know what happened last week is last week. I still believe that they can catch fire. I still think their offense is capable of doing more than it did last week. I thought it was ultra conservative, and I trust James Franklin enough if they do get to that point to recognize the error of his ways in big games and to let it fly a little bit. So I do think Penn State is capable. It has the athletes to do it, but man, I keep an eye out on Tennessee. If they can get their passing game going, oh man, that team's going to be almost impossible to beat.
Barrett Salee is joining us here from SiriusXM and Outkick. You talk about potentially skipping over the ultimate third and fourth seeds, and we know that the top four seeds are going to be conference champs. Are you throwing an ACC team like, I don't know, some guys in Miami out the window here?
So, maybe. Here's the thing. Okay, let's just say Miami gets in. Miami, to me, flawed defensively, right? I think we've seen that, especially in big games. Their defense has not come to play. They've also had, I wouldn't say luck, but they've benefited from some calls that might have been, should have gone the other way, right?
Yeah.
So they're living on the edge. That said, they've got a quarterback and a superstar who can take over every game. So they've got that working for them. But eventually, I think in big games against great teams, they can take Cam Ward away a little bit, right? And that'll go a long way, because if the defense for Miami falters like it has in big games already, I don't even think Cam Ward can make up for whatever hole they dig themselves into. Plus, on top of that, I don't know if they're going to win the ACC.
Ooh.
Because I tell you what, man, SMU is legit. That is a really good football team.
Right now, SMU sitting at number 13 of the college football rankings. When you take a look at what we have here in this first week, what gets you going about SMU?
Well, first of all, they've got one of the best coaches in the country. Rhett Lashley is going to get offered jobs across the country. Like, him and Kurt Cignetti are going to have – they can do whatever they want. They will be able to go wherever they want or stay where they are. Doesn't matter. Second of all, they caught lightning in a bottle with Kevin Jennings. He played great towards the end of last season when Preston Stone went out. Rhett made the proper call after a couple games to bench Preston Stone, and Kevin Jennings has taken it from there. The Mustangs are relentless offensively and opportunistic defensively, and they're getting better, and they're gaining confidence. And so I think to go to Pitt last week and do what they – or to beat Pitt at home the way they did, that's a really good Pitt football team, and they cut through them like a hot knife through butter. So I think we're talking about a team like right now, maybe they can't beat Miami like right this very instant, but – the ACC championship games in a month. And by that point, they might be as good, if not better, than Miami. I truly believe in that team. I think that, you know, they're not capable of winning a college football playoff, but I don't think Miami is either. But I think that both of them will actually get to it.
Hey, listen, I think SMU, after being chopped to shreds with the death penalty about 40 years ago, I think, damn it, I think a lot of their... Well, everybody with the program old enough to remember is probably appreciative of what they're currently doing. I put it that way.
Right. Everybody who drives the Trans Am drives it because of Eric Dickerson.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Barrett Salee is here with us from SiriusXM and OutKick. As we look forward to this upcoming weekend, I know you mentioned LSU. They got a big game this Saturday as well against Alabama. Alabama not getting a whole lot of attention. We got Lane Kiffin trying to get over the hump again by taking on Georgia. What are your thoughts on those matchups? Are there any other games that we should really pay attention to?
Well, those are the big ones. It's SEC week, right? Like, that is, they're taking center stage. I think for Alabama LSU, the biggest thing to me is Alabama and the lack of discipline, right? You look at what they've done in conference games, they're near the bottom in penalties. What they've done on the road, they're near the bottom of the SEC in penalties. It's an undisciplined football team. And the last thing you want to have when you go to Death Valley is an issue with discipline. And we saw Alabama in a big game at Tennessee, where they had 15 penalties. I think they had three more that were declined. That's not good. And I think that's a trend that's been in Alabama all year. And I think it really concerned me when Kalen DeBoer said – a couple weeks ago that they have to go back and work on the little things like getting to meetings on time. Oh, and I'm sitting there thinking, if that was Nick Saban, like, he might actually kill somebody for being late to a meeting, right? Like, that is not something that's supposed to happen. So that worries me a lot. And I tell you what, with Ole Miss and Georgia, if Lane Kiffin can get Georgia into a shootout, Georgia's in massive trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Carson Pick with 11 interceptions over the last five games. They haven't been able to run the football effectively. Even against Texas, they were bad. Like, not just average, they were horrible offensively against Texas. And the only reason they won was because of that front seven, which is just unbelievable. So, you know, I think to me, and I never thought I'd say this before the season, but Georgia getting into a shootout is a bad, bad problem for Kirby Smart. And I think Ole Miss, more than really any other team on Georgia's schedule, is capable of doing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Carson Beck is going to throw the ball around to the wrong team, unfortunately. You don't want any piece of that.
He finds them.
Yeah, he does, unfortunately. You talk about LSU. Let's talk about USC. What the hell is going on out there? Like, they're going through multiple quarterbacks now. Do we got people trying to save their asses from being fired?
It's getting there, man. It is getting there. Like, I said all offseason that Lincoln Riley's a fraud. I think he only cares about himself and his philosophy and is very reluctant to move off of it no matter what, and that includes in the quarterback department. Look, to me, Miller Moss is this year's version of Joe Milton last year.
Oh, boy.
And Joe Milton, remember, had a great bowl game. Everybody thought that he was going to come in and be a superstar, and he tanked for Tennessee last year. I think Moss kind of has that same sort of Joe Milton thing going on. And look, I think Lincoln, with the defense regressing a little bit than it was before the season, okay, it's still way better than it has been under Lincoln Riley for the first two seasons. But I think that he just really didn't want to admit that he's wrong, and he has a hard time doing that. With that said, Jay Maeve is a really good quarterback. You know, he helped Barry Odom. He was the driving force of UNLV, you know, coming back into the national scene with Barry Odom last year. And, I mean, they were mad that he left. They really liked him. I mean, the dude threw for over 3,000 yards last year. So, you know, is it going to change USC all that much that Miller Moss is on the bench and Jaden is in the game? I don't think it will in terms of the offense. I think if anything, they're going to let Jaden kind of loose, more so than maybe they were with Miller Moss trying to like hide his deficiencies a little bit. I don't think they're going to do that now after making a quarterback change. So this might help them a lot. But it goes back to, you know, they shouldn't be in this position, and they're in this position because Lincoln Riley's extremely stubborn.
Yeah, well, we know it looks like he's getting closer to the end. And so we'll see what he does, throwing out a new quarterback to try to save his ass. Barrett, where can people follow you and all of your work on Sirius, your podcast, Outkick? Where, you write your podcast, your radio. Where can we follow you?
pretty much everywhere. College Football Smothered and Covered, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, all those places. You can find it there daily. And then SiriusXM on Sunday mornings on Channel 84 and throughout the week, wherever on their college channels, and then columns every day on Outkick. So we'll be at Ole Miss, Georgia this weekend. Oxford's always a great time, always a great town, and it should be really excited about this one. I've already talked to folks down there. This is a bucket list game for a lot of people that are Ole Miss fans.
Yeah, hopefully it's a bucket list game for people traveling from Athens and Georgia. Hopefully Georgia doesn't disappoint.
No hurricane. Please, yeah. No hurricane.
Nah, I hope not.
We've already had to deal with that this year.
Nah, we've had enough. We don't need any more of them things. Hey, Barrett, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. That Barrett Salee. Catch him on SiriusXM, Smothered and Covered podcast. You read his writings on Outkick. He is everywhere. Thank you for the expertise, Barrett. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break when we come back on the other side. Hey, you just talked about quarterbacks at USC getting swapped out. Carolina Panthers aren't swapping out their quarterback. I'll give you an update on that on the other side of the break. It looks like we got two Colorado players, and Colorado here in the top 25 rankings, ranked number 20. We got two players who are saying that we're about to swap out college for the NFL. And us here at the top of the hour, I'm going to swap things out for a new top six list. We're going to take a look at the top six list of legitimate Super Bowl contenders now that we're about halfway through the season.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Thank you so much. Barrett Salee joining us in the last break. We were able to talk about the college football playoff rankings, who's in, who's out, what we need to look forward to. And he reminded us, it's a business. Let everybody get upset. Let them get mad. Let them yell. Let them get angry. It's all great marketing for what will ultimately be a game between two teams. And that's it. That's it. Speaking of two teams, by the time we get to the Super Bowl, it'll be down to two teams. The top of the hour, I'm going to share with you a top six list. Now that we're just about halfway through the NFL season, it's time to share with you a top six list of legitimate Super Bowl contenders. The NFL trade deadline, it has come and gone. Coaches have been fired. Players have been hurt. Now it's time to give you a little bit of an update. 855-212-4227. And right before we went to break and having this chat with Barrett Salee, called Lincoln Riley a fraud. We talked about some of the players that are in Lincoln Riley, what he's doing at the quarterback position, how long he might stick around. How about this? Of course, the guys at Colorado, the two stars, Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, of course, they're sitting around doing a podcast. They got, what else they got better to do, right? Not study. Who needs studying when you can catch and throw the football? they were sitting around talking about their future. And if you needed any type of, let's just say, hint as to what their futures might look like, it involves the NFL immediately, like next year. And so they sat around and this became news because they talked as they do in public. Travis Hunter is engaged and he pretty much admitted that he is scheduling his wedding in between OTAs. Like he knows he's going to get drafted and he's going to get married. He's going to make sure that there is no conflict for his wedding. Me? Hickey. To be a 21-year-old college football player, the world is your oyster. He wants to get married. He's engaged.
He's got a good head on his shoulders. Very mature. You know, you've heard Deion talk about he doesn't go out and party ever. He just goes home and hangs out. Kind of guy you want to draft, right?
I don't know, man. Yeah, sure, but.
You don't know?
Yeah, I get it, but gonna get married?
Well, I'm not saying I would do that.
Kind of young. I mean, I get it. This different era, different time, different age. It's different strokes for different folks, but 21? Okay, all right. Okay. All right. Good for him. Anyway, Shador Sanders, he's not getting married. But he had a response because he basically said, yeah, well, you're not going to be here. I'm not going to be here because I'm going pro as well. Listen to this from Well Off Media.
Hey, real quick, listen up. 8:30 a.m. registration. 8:30 a.m. No one is to miss. So we got that?
Yeah. Registration
with? For what?
Voting.
So we got to be here. We just submitted.
I'll be in the league.
Boy got registration, man. Hey. Coming back next year.
Hey.
Boy got registration.
Do not wish that on me, man. Hey, man. It's said and done, man.
Hey, I'll see you.
Hey, registration. I know after last game, man, y'all not going to see me.
Oh, man. Man, I ain't playing no football in college. I remember school registration a little bit. Hickey, when did you register for classes? Like the semester before, or did you wait until like the last minute?
Oh, no, yeah, semester before. That sounds about right.
Okay.
Right timing, October, November for like January, February.
He knows he's not even going to be in school. Now, this is interesting. This is a sham. And this has been the case for a lot of people. Do you have to go to school? In the world, and there's not enough college players. There's not enough football. There's not a mechanism for this. College is a necessity if you want to go pro. Just to learn the game, you know, get your body physically right. There's a massive difference. There's no way in hell you're going from being 18 years old, you know, just to, I'm going to the NFL. No, you will die. Doesn't work that way. Is it always going to be necessary? Are we always going to have college? Like, you think Shador Sanders gives a damn about, I don't want to say an education, but his emphasis is on football. Like, it's almost, I don't want to say it feels dirty. He's not in school to learn. He's in school to play football. Why can't we just send him somewhere to learn football that's not college?
Because that doesn't exist, right? I mean, I guess what, the only
Can
other...
Can it?
What?
Can it?
I don't know what would form. Like, what are you forming? And how many people would follow suit?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's too many college football athletes. It's too difficult to form a program. Like, it's easy to slap together a basketball team in a league. And we see it. How many leagues do we have that are, quote unquote, not the NBA, but can be a stepping stone to the NBA? It's not just college anymore. We've had, you know, the G League started its own little thing. And then we got the OTE for high school / college students to kind of take that next step. You can go to Europe and garner attention. Not so many, no options for football. I don't know. Maybe it's so unique because it's unique to the United States of America at the highest level. But it just doesn't sound good. And I get it. He's going pro. But he's just like, man, I ain't registered for school. I'm going to the NFL. Like, damn it, if I didn't need to sit in a class and act like a student today, I wouldn't. Like, he didn't say that part, but he might as well have. It just sounds bad to me, you know?
It feels a little dirty, I will admit, kind of hearing him say that. But, I mean, that's the reality, right, of college football.
If I'm a student at one of these schools, if I'm a student at Colorado, I'm like, well, Shador, he's how come I can't just make a lot of money and not do anything? I got to pay to be here and learn. I guess that's life. Life's not fair. Learn how to throw a football 60 yards and do better. So the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, it's going to be time for a new top six list. We're going to take a look at legitimate Super Bowl contenders. The JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.